Tonight, we have something that's obviously not our norm. This is not what we normally do for small groups. But something that, as a youth ministry team, we think is really important for you to hear. Some of you, as for what you're going to hear tonight, you know, it might hit pretty close to home and might really resonate with you. If so, I'd really encourage you to talk to your parents when you get home tonight about what you heard. Your parents have all received an email with this kind of flyer, which is kind of a handout on the presentation you'll be hearing tonight. There are extra copies of that on both of the back tables. If you want to grab one so you remember what you talked about, that'll be available in hard copy form. Your parents also, like I said, already have an email about it. Again, encourage you to talk to your parents about it. If there's something that really resonates with you, talk to your small group leader, the team from Reset 180 that's here. You can recognize them in blue shirts. Myself, that's what we are here for. But please, you know, if that's something that really resonates, please talk to an adult about it. Now, some of you, you're like, dude, you're going to hear some things tonight, and it's just going to be like, I don't know exactly what they're talking about. This, I just cannot relate. And that's okay. This is just some information that you can kind of file away to your future. And, you know, I just be grateful that this isn't something you have to deal with right now. We want you to have heard God's truth on some of these topics, some really important topics, and so you know of available resources. Well, tonight we have invited a group from Reset 180 to come here. Reset 180 is a group that works here in Northern Virginia with a bunch of churches, but their goal and their mission is to end human trafficking, specifically in Northern Virginia. And it's a partnership Reston Bible Church has with them and a lot of other churches, and they do just a lot of great work in this area. And just to be clear, some people are like, what is human trafficking? Just to be clear, if someone is trafficking anything, they're moving some product from point A to B to sell it, to make money, to profit from it. A lot of times you hear that in terms of like drug trafficking, right? They want to move it to sell it to profit from it. Human trafficking then is a modern form of slavery where people are used and sold, extorted against their will, and most of the time this is in the form of sexual exploitation. And I will say, I think it's really easy for us to think, well, this is just like an out there sort of, like, nothing we deal with here in Northern Virginia. But I it's very eye-opening as you realize this is something that is actively happening, very prevalent in our area and throughout our country, and in tons of parts of the world. And like I mentioned, RBC is partnering with Reset 180 and their mission. And again, maybe this is something that resonates with you. Really encourage you. That's why we're having this. If you need to talk to one of our adults, that's why we're here. And if it's not you, praise God. Just file it away for the future. Tonight you're going to hear from them for about 30 minutes, and then we are going to head to our small groups. So. Without further ado, I just really appreciate if you give your full attention to Kim and the team from Reset 180. Thanks.
Okay, guys. Well, my name is Kim Luckabaugh, and actually, my husband and I go to church here. And so it's such a blessing to be able to speak with you all tonight. I'm the executive director at Reset 180. And just as Aaron explained, we are an organization that is out there fighting against human trafficking. Teresa Ruckstall is with me as well, and we have she's our director of operations, and she's going to be peppering back and forth with me a little bit through this conversation tonight. So I really appreciate you guys being here, and I know this is going to be something that might be kind of heavy for some of you, and for others of you, like Aaron was saying, this might just be something you want to file away for your use later. But before we get into this, I want to start with prayer. That is the most important piece of what we do at Reset 180, and we don't want to go forward until we just give this time to God. Father God, I just come before you right now, and I thank you for this opportunity to share what you're doing and share your heart for those who are hurting. And Father, I just commit this time to you, and for everything that we say and do, may you be glorified and honored in all of it. Lord, I also lift up each leader here, the parents, the kids, and just praise you and thank you for the heart they have in loving and serving you. And I just pray for them tonight as they hear this information, and that you will go before us all and just show us your grace and mercy in all of it. And Lord, I also lift up those who are impacted by this in our area and just ask that you show them your love in incredible ways. Lord, I commit this time to you and all in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. All right, so let me see. We got our slides up there. Thank you so much. And we're going to get through here. Again, my name is Kim, and this is Teresa. And we're going to be sharing with you some of what we know and do at Reset 180. So in this presentation tonight, you're going to be learning about, let me change this one. Hang on, bear with me. There we go. We're going to be talking about what trafficking is, where it is, who does it, who's vulnerable. We're going to talk about safe technology and what we do at Reset 180 that makes a difference. I want to make one thing really clear to you all, too. If any of you have any questions or concerns, please talk to Aaron, talk to one of your small group leaders, talk to your parents, find one of us in the blue shirt. There's a few of us scattered in the back, too. And we're happy to talk with you tonight. Okay, we're going to talk about what human trafficking is. So human trafficking is the fastest growing and second largest criminal industry in the world today. This is second behind drug trafficking and tied with illegal arms. And that's according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And it affects every race, income level, gender, age, everything. So there are four different ways that you will experience that a person can be trafficked. Through force. An example of this can be forcing a person to do something they don't want to do. And it can be in a pretty explicit way. And fraud, an example of that would be someone they're trying to get someone to lie to get them to do something they don't want to do. And again, it probably is going to be in a very inappropriate manner. Coercion or manipulation means that this is an example. It can be telling someone to do something, they don't do this, and they're going to tell someone else, and something bad is going to happen. So they're going to try to manipulate. So I want to really read this definition to you to help this make a little bit more sense. That this human trafficking is when a person is induced to provide commercial sex or forced labor through force, fraud, or coercion. If the person providing commercial sex is under 18 years of age, they are automatically considered a victim of sex trafficking. So that is the federal definition of trafficking in the United States. So modern-day trafficking, or trafficking in general, is modern-day slavery. That's a very important takeaway here. And if the person, again, is providing it under 18, they are automatically considered a victim of trafficking. Let's talk about where this happens. So this is a heat map of 2019 where the hot spots of trafficking are. And what this shows you, when you look at this, you can't even see our state. You guys are pretty geographically astute here. So when you see that line, that hot red line coming down from New England all the way down into Northern Virginia, that's going along the Route 95 corridor. So you can't even see where we are, but you can see it's hot red. So this is from the U.S. National Human Trafficking Hotline, or Polaris, and they provide victims and survivors of sex and labor trafficking with vital support and options to get help and to stay safe. Move that forward. So let's talk about who these people are. There is no label that anyone can be a trafficker. That's the important thing, is that this could be anybody around you. If you try to put a label on them, you're going to miss them. Human trafficking is a crime that cuts across all demographics, and it's in almost every country in the world. People of any gender, nationality, socioeconomic status, level of ability or education, race, ethnicity can be affected by it. The bottom line is that traffickers are people who are willing to exploit others for profit, and the victims are those whose weaknesses or vulnerabilities are exploited, and it rarely happens with the kidnapping or the white van. We often hear about that, oh, there's a white van in the neighborhood. Well, that isn't always how it happens. So if that's what you're looking for, you're going to miss it. That's very important. So just like we're talking about anyone can be a victim, well, the traffickers don't have a special profile either. So all these people were convicted of sex trafficking in Northern Virginia. They look like normal people, and they can be, again, any gender, any age, any race, any ethnicity, any socioeconomic status, anything. And one of these people even created a fake account on social media, pretended to be someone he wasn't, and that's why later on we're going to talk about safety on the internet, because they will try to find you in that way as well. As we said, trafficking is not just a national problem, it's also right here. All these places are called illicit massage businesses. That's what each one of those dots represents, is an illicit massage business. And that's a type of trafficking that happens in our communities, even close by here. So Reset 180 has visited over 130 of these locations. We've talked to the people as they're approaching. We talked about what's going on in there. So we bring awareness surrounding these locations. We love our community deeply, and we love those who are hurting around us. So let's talk about why this happens. This is an awful crime. Why does this happen? Well, the simple answer is money. This is actually a $150 billion industry worldwide. $150 billion. The vulnerabilities, what creates weakness? Who's vulnerable to this? The traffickers are smart, and they know how to sniff out these weaknesses in someone, and everybody has some kind of a vulnerability. Whether we want to admit it or not, there's some kind of vulnerability within each of us. They prey upon people who are under 18, who have low self-esteem, who have a heavy presence on the internet or social media, especially in chat rooms. People who are hanging out at the malls or other hangout spots where they're just dropped off and they're unsupervised. Maybe there's a job listing. There's like, hey, there's a modeling job or some gig job or something like that. There's a thing called Craigslist, and we'll see those kind of things on there or other places like that. People who struggle with some mental health issues, and those who have been exposed heavily to the negative pop culture messages. So they start off trafficking a person through a process called grooming. And this is a precursor in which the trafficker actually works to gain a person's trust as they gather information with the intent to exploit them or take advantage of them. Exploit can kind of be a big word, and I want to kind of break that down a little bit. So this can happen. This takes place on social media, anywhere a person hangs out, such as the malls or the bus stops, even at schools and other places through friends. And every person has that vulnerability that someone else can take advantage of. And they use this to manipulate or control someone. So learning about this now helps you become more aware of red flags and signs of how you can help your friends, especially when you notice that something isn't right. There are, and you'll see the ways, the things that they do. They'll target the victim. They try to gain your trust. They play a role in your life, a very intimate role. They seek to isolate a person from their own family network or their close network of people. They try to, sometimes they'll have you create that special relationship. Oh, we're going to keep our relationship a secret. Don't ever let anyone tell you that relationship is a secret. They will initiate contact. Sometimes it's going to start as a little brush on the shoulder, and then they're going to maybe try to wrap a hand around the waist, and they're going to keep trying to push the boundaries until you stop them. And it's okay to say no. It's important to remember to say no if you ever feel uncomfortable. Another thing that we need to share with you is about what sextortion is. And this is when someone will say, hey, send me a picture. They start by grooming you. They start by befriending you. And they break down these defenses. And then they're going to start saying, hey, here's a picture. Can you send me yours? And it's going to start kind of innocuously, kind of innocently. And then those pictures they're going to request are going to be more explicit. And then they're going to say, well, they're going to post it someplace in order to pay them back to take it down. They're going to ask for more explicit photos. They could ask for money. And honestly, this happened to a friend of mine that I've known since sixth grade or 6 years old. It happened to her son and a kid right here locally from Ashburn. So this happens, and they said, I'm going to blow it up on the internet unless you give us $800,000. So this does happen, and it happens right here. So the two key avenues they do this is where they will, again, have the person share the images with them to humiliate the person, and then the perpetrator will go online with it and demand more images or money, like I just said. Anyone can be a victim of this. So if anyone ever approaches you asking for something like that, the fast and easy answer is say no, because what they will do with that image is going to can cause a lot of damage later on, and we want to protect you and keep you safe, as do your parents. So let's talk about red flags. What do they look like? What are things that you can look for? So these are just some of the red flags. There are so many more, but it's important to know this so you can protect yourself. Your parents can protect you. You can help your friends by recognizing some of these things. Someone who's displaying a sudden change in their behavior, their grades plummet. Maybe they stop taking care of themselves. They go from being a really neat and tidy person to they hardly ever wash their hair, or their clothes are dirty and disheveled and they just don't care anymore. Their behavior changes around adults that they trust. They have new friends and oftentimes older friends that isn't normal for them. They have new items that they normally wouldn't have, maybe a new cell phone or avatar skins and things like that, that mom and dad didn't buy and they didn't buy. And where did this new cell phone come from? Where did this new switch come from? Things like that. They stop engaging in things that they like. Maybe somebody who likes to run track and all of a sudden they really don't give a hoot anymore about it. They sleep a lot. They're not engaged during class. They're online a lot, and they're trying to keep it a secret. So those are just some of the ways it happens, some of the things to look for. So let's talk about safety. If anyone ever says, I'll hurt so-and-so if you don't fill in the blank, whatever that blank is, go tell your parents immediately. Don't let that slide. If anyone ever tries to threaten you that way, that is a control tactic that traffickers will use to try to keep you from saying something. Go to your parents. They're adults. They can handle it. Don't sit there and think, I have to protect my mom or dad or my sister. You go tell your parents. They can take care of you, and they want to. They love you, and they want to protect you. So go to them if this ever happens. So the reason knowing what not to share online is important is because traffickers will begin to isolate the victim once they know certain things about that person. The trafficker works to fill a need that person has in their life, the vulnerabilities we talked about. So this creates a dependency between the victim and the trafficker. That's why knowing safe ways to communicate is so important. And these are some other anti-trafficking, and these are from some other anti-trafficking organizations. You have the right to say no whenever you feel uncomfortable. People can try to deceive you online and through social media. So if you keep posting personal information, that helps them find you, like the really personal kind of stuff. You don't want to post a picture of yourself in front of your house with a house number behind you or in front of your school with a name on it. Things that are personal identifiers, you want to protect that information. Don't post that kind of stuff online. Don't give them your phone number. Don't tell them what time you get home from school, things like that kind of stuff. So when you're looking on who you're going to friend on social media, only accept friend requests from people you know. Don't ever accept it from someone you don't know or you think you might know. If you don't know that person, don't accept it. If they keep trying to contact you, block them. This is all about keeping you safe. Try not to post emotional posts. It's so easy when someone upsets you to go online and blast it. Try to refrain from that because that gives other people personal information about you. They know what you're doing at that point. So make sure that anything you do online is with trusted adults that whom you know already. If anyone ever asks for anything from you online through the webcam, they want to talk with you through a web camera, things like that, and you don't know who they are, they want pictures of private parts of you, do not send it, because that will get captured. So if this ever happens, you need to tell someone what is going on. peer pressure is a real big deal, guys. I know this. My kids are all in college. My last one graduated from high school in 2021. And so I'm a mom, and I understand how peer pressure works. My kids are not too far removed from your age right now. But if anyone ever makes you feel uncomfortable, you tell a trusted adult what is going on. And you try so hard to push back against that peer pressure. And if you feel someone is pushing you, go talk to a trusted adult about it. Let's talk about apps real quick. These are some of the apps you need to look out for. So Discord can be a really fun place. I get it. My kids try to hang out on Discord. There are some rough areas in there. So be gentle with that one. Make sure that you're not in an inappropriate area within that. So a lot of minors, a lot of kids meet perpetrators in these chat rooms. So if you sit there and say, oh, it's just a buddy. I know this person. You've never met that person face to face. You don't know that person. So when they ask for something personal from you, you don't know them. Don't send it. That is the simple answer for it. There are online dating apps. That's another place where these people will prey. They'll pretend to be someone they're not. You think you're talking to a cute 16-year-old girl? That could be a 45-year-old guy on the other side of that. And you think you're sending a fun picture to a girl? You're not necessarily. So be careful with the dating apps. There are apps disguised to look like something else. Calculator. Sometimes there's a calculator app, and that's a place to hide pictures. Sometimes there's a phone app. Only you don't call anybody on. It's not a place to hide pictures. So be watchful of the vibe and the kick and the WhatsApp when someone says, hey, kick me, hey, snap me here. You don't know that person, don't do it. So you need to be safe with technology. And so here are some facts I really want to put apart to you here. There are an estimated 500,000 predators online every day. Over 50,000 of online sexual exploitation victims fall between the ages of 12 and 15. And that's actually, I've heard the number of 11 too. About 89% of sexual advances directed at children occur in internet chat rooms and through instant messaging. 40% of children remove or change their privacy settings in hopes of attracting more friends and followers. In 2017, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which we also call NCMEC, so if you hear me say NCMEC, that's who they are, they received over 10.2 million reports of child exploitation. And so there's such a high increase in the rates of the enticements online. So be careful. Let's talk about why victims don't leave. Because they get trapped in there. You're like, well, why don't they just leave? They can just get up and go. They can shut down the window. They can ignore it. Well, so there are barriers that prevent people from doing that. The bottom line in all that is shame and guilt. They feel so shameful for what they are done. If you have ever been victimized by this, or you've given a picture and you feel that way, or your friend feels that way, Jesus loves you. There is nothing. You didn't do anything wrong. We make mistakes. God loves you no matter what you do. Your parents love you no matter what happens. And they will not be ashamed of you. They love you. They care about you. God loves you more than you could ever know. So please do not let that be a barrier. Don't let that happen to your friends. So there are just so many things that that people feel that will prevent them from moving forward. But shame and guilt are pretty strong emotions, and I don't want that to trap anyone here or any of your friends. So all that's heavy, so let's talk about the hope. Because that sounds pretty scary, but that's why we're here. We want to provide hope. We want to say, here's how we help. Here's what we do. So we work to touch the lives of both survivors and victims. And we do this through three pillars: prevent human trafficking, disrupt the networks that feed it, and restore the lives who have been impacted by it. For prevention, education is so important because it equips you with the knowledge to be able to recognize trafficking, and it only takes one person to make a difference. For disruption, we have two teams that are disrupting local human trafficking. And one goes out physically to the location where trafficking is happening, and they let people know what's going on there. We have another team that actually texts the victims online and lets them know that resources are available to help them. And we actually help connect them to those resources. For restoring lives, we walk alongside the survivors of human trafficking and provide them what they need, whether it's help with housing, whether it's help with transportation or groceries or therapy, whatever. So we want to empower and equip them, and we do that through our case management program. We have our case manager actually here tonight, and she works with them every day to help give them what they need. So what do you do now? So be aware of your surroundings. Look for the red flags we talked about. Help your friends. Be a good friend. Love your friend at all times. Share safely on social media. Share with a trusted adult, your parents, a counselor, a teacher, your youth group leaders here, a pastor. So you can also find us. Yes, I talked about safety on social media. We are on social media, Reset 180. So you can find us on there. If any of your friends ever have a question or concern, this is a number that you guys need. This, huh? Yeah. So they run the trafficking hotline, and they are open 24/7, 365. And they receive quite a few phone calls. And Teresa wants to talk about that because she actually used to work in dispatch. So she's got some info to add to it. I think it's on.
Okay, is this on? Okay. So before I worked with Reset 180, I used to work at the National Human Trafficking Hotline. So I just wanted to give you some insight to what it's like. If you should call the hotline, it's 100% anonymous. You can be as anonymous as you want to be. You can give as much information as you want to be. They will ask you your name. And if you don't want to give your name, you just say, I don't want to. And they're fine with that. Unlike 911, the phone calls to the National Human Trafficking Hotline are not recorded. So you can call and say whatever it is you want to say and be assured that it's not going to be recorded or brought back to you later. If you call, you only need to have a suspicion of human trafficking in order to call the hotline to make a report. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to know exactly what's going on. You call them and you say, hey, you know, this just doesn't look right to me. This doesn't seem right to me. They will know what to do with that information. You can call about yourself. You can call about a friend. You can call about a house down the street. It doesn't matter. Afterwards, how that looks, they will give you, if you want, they will give you a case number. And you can call back and give follow-up information or ask a question, but you would have to have that case number because they will not release any information to anyone at all. So if I were to call and make a report and they give me a case number, and then Kim calls, and maybe we call about the same house, for example, and she says, she gives her report. If I were then to call back later, they wouldn't even tell me what Kim said. They are very, very good about protecting privacy. Some of the people you talk to there are survivors themselves. Some are not. So it's a really, really good resource if you need a place to go to make a report.
The other thing we want to touch on, thank you, Teresa, how to report sextortion. So call the FBI. That's slam dunk. Go to the FBI. Call the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They actually will help remove the images. They will get the images removed off the internet. They will clean the internet of those images. So if you have a friend who said, oh my gosh, this happened to me, tell them to call NCMEC, 1-800-THE-LOST, and they will eradicate those images off the internet. And then lastly, here are your local numbers. Loudoun County, you see midway through, 777-1021, that's non-emergency. Fairfax County, 691-2131, that goes to police non-emergency. But in all honesty, that's a good source. You can always call local, but your FBI and Polaris National Trafficking Hotline, probably some of your better places to go. Anyway, so I am going to buzz Aaron back up here. And that is trying to give you a blow through quickly of what we have and do. And just let you know that the reason that we talk about God so much in what we do, we are a Christian organization. Christ is central in everything we do. And we don't make that requirement of those whom we are serving, but we expect all of us that are working together to be Bible-believing Christians, and because we want to love with the love of Jesus. So it's so important in the work that we're doing to be that body of Christ.
Amen. Well, first of all, Kim, I just want to say huge thanks for what you're doing, and just the lives that you're caring for and the people that you're impacting. Really appreciate your heart and your ministry for that. I have one kind of practical question I'd like to ask you and get your thoughts on, and then I got just something else briefly I want to share. And that's this, right? Like, For all of our students here, they see a change in their friend, right? Mm. You know, okay, they were on the soccer team, they just suddenly quit the soccer team. They were like, we were BFFs hanging out, and they just seem distant, they're pulling away. You know, maybe they're hanging around some old, you know, they're a, you know, 14-year-old girl, and now we're hanging around with an older guy. Like, we're kind of seeing some, like, red flags, and, like, but, like,
how as a follower of Jesus Christ, how do we love them? Like, what would you say are, like, those practical steps when you see a friend and you're like, that's just something's looking weird here?
Yeah, that's a great question, Aaron. Thank you. I go back to Bible verse that many of us learned when we were, like, this big. A friend loves at all times. Check on your friend. If you were hurting, you want your friend to check on you. Hey, are you doing okay? I noticed that you seem really down. And if they say yes, they're fine, and you see things continuing, then you need to tell someone else, hey, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, I've been noticing that Joanne has not been her normal self, and I'm really worried about her. And it's okay to go to another adult and say, I'm worried about my friend, because if something were really bad happening with you, you would want your friends to say something to protect you too. So you want to be that friend that cares and loves, and you need love like Jesus. So he said to love your neighbor as yourself. So let's start there and show our love to our friends and care about them.
Amen. Well, thanks. All of you, I hope you can see a couple of just key themes, students, from what Kim and the Reset team is sharing tonight. First of all, the number of times that she mentioned tell a trusted adult, tell a trusted adult, tell a trusted adult. That's, I pray you guys would take as a huge takeaway. Another theme that I think, I hope you saw from what she was sharing today, like, I use Discord a lot in my own life, but it's with people that I actually know who they are. Primarily, and, you know, if someone online is going to, you know, ask you about a lot of personal details that you have no idea who they are, that is not not the person to be talking about. And you know, our heart here tonight is not to, like, scare and make everyone afraid. We do serve a God who is bigger, greater, stronger, loving, caring, compassionate, forgiving, and all those that we have a hope and a confidence in. But we also don't want to be naive. And so I really appreciate your attentiveness in listening to all this. I know this is not like, wow, this is the most fun we've ever had in junior and senior high tonight. But with that, senior hires, stay seated. Senior hires, stay seated. Junior hires, if you would go to your small groups, leaders, the folders are there. All my regular lead, oh, all the folders are with Noah. Junior hires, head to your small groups, please. Noah, again, as your folder, you're in your regular rooms, and get out of this room really quickly. Get. I love you, but go.